peace with God.
You drop something and it breaks. You might be frustrated or upset, but you get the dustpan, sweep up the pieces, and move on. What about when it's your life that seems to be in pieces? One word, God.
He's good at putting the pieces of your life back together, if you'll trust him.
Stay tuned for an encouraging teaching from Franklin Graham on this edition of Peace with God, an outreach of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. I'm Bill Meyer. You're also going to hear from Franklin's son, Will, on heart surgery, spiritual heart surgery.
By simply believing that God can change your heart and ask him to give you a new heart, he will.
Listen for the rest of Will's teaching right after his dad's message.
Peace with God.
Find us at peacewithgodradio.org.
peacewithgodradio.org or 888-61-JESUS.
888-61-JESUS.
Today's message comes from Franklin Graham's 2006 Gulf Coast Festival held in Mobile, Alabama. It's based on the life of a young man in the Bible named Mephibosheth. Let's listen.
Tonight, I want you to know that God loves you. Tonight, I want you to know that God will forgive you of your sins. I want you to know tonight that if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, tonight, I'm going to give you an opportunity to confess your sin to God, to tell God you're sorry, and by faith, to invite Jesus Christ to come into your heart, into your life. I'm here to tell you tonight, Jesus Christ is the answer. Jesus Christ can make a change in your life tonight. Today, he can change your life if you will let him. So tonight, if you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've never trusted him as your Lord and Savior, if you've never surrendered your life to him, I'm going to invite you just a few moments to get up out of your seat and come stand in front of this platform. And when we've all come, I'm going to lead you in a prayer where you can confess your sins to God, ask for forgiveness, and by faith to receive Jesus Christ into your heart, into your life. You prepare to come. I want to look at a passage of Scripture. This is in 2 Samuel chapter 9. And King David asked, "Is there anyone still left in the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of Saul's household, and his name was Ziba. They called him to appear before David, and the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" "Your servant," he replied. The king asked, "Is there no one still left in the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness?" Ziba answered the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in both feet." "Where is he?" the king asked. Ziba answered, "He is in the house of Machir, son of Amiel, in Lodibar." So King David had him brought from Lodibar, from the house of Machir, the son of Amiel. And when Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. And David said to him, "Mephibosheth." "Your servant," he replied. "Don't be afraid," David said to him, "for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan, and I'll restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table." Saul had been king of Israel. He was not God's choice. Israel demanded a king, and he gave him Saul. And Saul is like many. He started off well, but he didn't finish well. And as he got towards the end of his life, sin got into his life. He turned his back on God. His heart was filled with jealousy and rage, and God anointed another. He anointed David. That was God's choice. And Saul was jealous of David, tried to kill David, but Saul's son Jonathan was David's best friend, and Jonathan tried to protect David and keep David away from his father. And as we read this scripture, we see how Jonathan and Saul are both killed in battle, and David wept over Jonathan. He missed Jonathan. Jonathan was one of his best friends. And now David has been anointed king, and David has consolidated his power as the king of Israel. And he has spent time now defeating the enemies of the Lord that surrounded Israel. And now there's a little bit of peace and a little bit of time of calm and quiet. And he remembers his old friend Jonathan. Is there anyone left in the house of Saul that I can show the kindness of God for the sake of my friend Jonathan? And Ziba comes before the king, and he says, there is still a son of Jonathan. There's still a son. And he's crippled in his feet, and his name is Mephibosheth. And so they bring Mephibosheth to David. Mephibosheth was crippled. This is a picture of the human race. We're all spiritual cripples in God's sight. The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us have turned to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. The Bible says we've all sinned. We've all come short of God's glory, and that the wages, the penalty of sin is death. And the Bible says there is a way that seems right to man, but in the end, it leads to death. Death is eternal separation from God. This is what each and every one will receive outside of Christ. And Mephibosheth comes to David, afraid. But he's a picture of you. He's a picture of me. I'm a sinner. I come here tonight. Franklin Graham is a sinner. He's been crippled by sin. And when I was 22 years old, I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life. And you said, Franklin, why do you wait till you're 22? Because you see, I was afraid that if I invited Jesus Christ to come into my life, that I would be in like a spiritual straitjacket. I was afraid that I wouldn't have fun, that if I gave my life to Jesus, I couldn't have a good life. I wanted to have fun. I wanted to party. I wanted to experience all the things that life had to offer. And I was afraid that if I gave my life to Christ, the fun would come to an end. But the more I sought fun, the more I wanted to please myself, there was an emptiness in my life. And maybe you're here tonight and you say, you know, Franklin, I have that same emptiness. Oh, I tried to fill it with all kinds of things, but nothing satisfied. And I finally came to the point in my life where I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. And maybe you're here tonight and you're at that same place in your life. You're sick and tired of just being sick and tired. And you would like to invite Christ to come into your heart, to clean up your life, to change you, to give you a new beginning, a new opportunity, a new start. And you say, I came to that place where I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I got on my knees and I confessed my sins to God, asking for forgiveness. And when I was 22 years old, I asked Christ to come into my heart, to change my life, to take my life. And I told him, if you'll take the pieces of my life and somehow put it together, it's yours from this night on, forevermore. You can take my life. You can have it. I want you to take control because I've messed up. It's yours. That night, God forgave Franklin Graham. I don't deserve it. I had been crippled by sin. But God forgave me, and he'll forgive you tonight. You see, the Bible says, I know nothing good lives in me. That's my sinful nature. That's the way we are. There's nothing good in us. We're crippled by sin. We're sinners. And maybe tonight you have come to this place a spiritual cripple. Perhaps you have made a mess of your life like I've made a mess of my life. And you're just thinking, how can I get out of this? Who can save me? You come to Christ tonight. You put your faith and trust in him. You say, Franklin, is there really hope for me? Absolutely. Absolutely. You say, well, why do I have to come through Jesus? How come I just can't go straight to God? Because you see, you're crippled. You're a cripple. How are you going to get there? You see, your sins separate you from God. Your sins separate you. You cannot come into his presence. It's impossible. He's a holy God. He doesn't allow sin in front of him. You say, but Franklin, what do you mean by sin? The world's changing. What do you mean by sin? Well, let me say something. God's laws, his standards, don't change. The Bible says if you tell a lie, it's a sin against God. Have you lied? The Bible says all of us have lied, every one of us here. And let me tell you something. It only takes one sin to keep you out of God's presence for eternity. Stealing, taking something that doesn't belong to you, it's a sin against God. Sex outside of the marriage relationship between a man and a woman, It's a sin. The Bible says, for just as through disobedience of one man, many were made sinners. When Adam fell in the Garden of Eden, sin, when it came into the world, it infected everyone at birth. You were born into sin, okay? All of us have this sinful nature, and we cannot come before a holy God. And the Bible says, so through the obedience of one man, many will be made righteous. And who's that one man? Is Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus Christ went to the cross. He paid the debt of sin. He shed his blood for you. He shed his blood for me. And when he went to the cross, he took your sins to the cross. He took your sins to the cross. And he took your sins to the grave. And on the third day, God said, it's enough. It's enough. And on the third day, he raised his son. Glory to his name. Hallelujah to the name of the Lamb. He raised his son. Jesus is not in the grave. Jesus Christ is alive. He's here tonight. And tonight, Jesus Christ will take control of your life if you'll let him. He'll give you a new beginning, a new start. But you've got to invite him. That's right. By faith, you've got to invite him to come into your heart, into your life. The Bible says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that the times of refreshing may come from the Lord. That's what I'm saying tonight. You've got to be willing to repent. That means to turn from your sins. The Bible says in the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he's commanding people everywhere to repent. Will you do that tonight?
You know, there is not one of us who hasn't been spiritually crippled by sin. The only cure is Jesus Christ. You can discover more about his healing touch at peacewithgodradio.org. Or call us. Our number is 888-61-JESUS. That's 888-615-3787. You can also call us if you'd like a free CD of this edition of Peace with God. Listen to it again yourself or share it with someone else. All you need to do is let us know you'd like the free CD copy of today's program. The number again is 888-61-JESUS, 888-615-3787. You'll hear the rest of Franklin Graham's message in just a moment.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
We have three children in heaven, and that marked my life as a 22-year-old man.
Brian is a pastor. But even his faith was tested when he and his wife went through three miscarriages.
After the first two were twins, we found out that there was another baby we didn't know about. And then a week later, that little guy passed away.
Brian found comfort and wisdom in the Bible.
I remember reading that famous story in 2 Samuel where David finally says, you know what, I can't bring my son back, but one day I'll be with him. And that passage has marked my life as a pastor, ministering to people that go through miscarriages or lose a child.
Brian has turned his loss into wisdom. What wisdom have you discovered in your struggles? My Hope with Billy Graham 2014 is dedicated to helping you share it. It begins with you and your church. Learn more at myhopewithbillygraham.org. Myhopewithbillygraham.org.
We're glad you're with us today for Peace with God. Franklin Graham's teaching from the biblical story of King David showing mercy to a young man. Reaching young people with a message of Christ is something the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association is very committed to.
We've got to be intentional. We won't accidentally make disciples and make disciple-making disciples with children and youth.
Chad Miller heads up our Children and Youth Evangelism Training Ministry. It uses a three-pronged approach in its outreach. It shares Christ with children directly, it equips Christian kids to share him with their friends, and it trains adult ministry workers to share him with the kids they're serving. That adult ministry worker training is called Engage.
Training children's workers and youth workers on what we know about kids, what are the statistics telling us, what does God's Word tell us about engaging generations? Are there explicit instructions from Scripture on what it looks like to make disciples of other generations? Are there implicit instructions? We explored that together, and the Lord was so gracious to us.
One of the ways children and youth evangelism training takes the message of Christ directly to children is through its Kids Fest outreaches.
Chad says they were blown away by how God worked through Kids Fest at the recent Will Graham celebration in Clinton, Mississippi.
We had 1,550 people, and more than 12% of the attendees came forward to indicate they were making a commitment to Jesus Christ.
Along with Kids Fest and Engage is Dare to Be a Daniel. That's a program that trains Christian kids to effectively share their faith with their friends. You can learn all about these outreaches to children and youth at our website. Go to peacewithgodradio.org and click on What We Do. Then look for Children and Youth.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
There's hope.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
On today's edition of Peace with God, Franklin Graham is explaining how the biblical story of a great king and a disabled boy relates to your life. The king is David, and the boy is Mephibosheth. He's the son of David's best friend, Jonathan, who was killed in battle.
David extended his kindness to this little crippled boy for the sake of his good friend, Jonathan. I'm going to spare his life. I'm going to take care of that kid. I'm going to do it for Jonathan's sake, my good friend. David didn't know the boy, had never met him, didn't even know Jonathan had a son. But he loved him. God loves you. He loves each and every one of you. He loves you tonight. And the Bible says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He showed him grace. The Bible says in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. He showed him mercy. The Bible says, for the Lord your God is a merciful God. In his love and mercy, he redeemed them, the Bible says. The Bible says, in his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. And that's what you can have tonight, is a new birth into a living hope. The person of Christ, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, the Bible says. He showed him, David showed this boy love. He showed him grace. He showed him mercy. He was a cripple. This boy hadn't done a thing. But David showed him this love and kindness, grace and mercy for the sake of another. And you see, that's what God is willing to show you tonight, his love, his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness, not because you've done anything, but because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did 2,000 years ago when he took your sins to the cross. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shouldn't perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ came out of heaven down to this earth. He took your sins. He went to the cross. He took them to the grave. On the third day, God raised him. He's alive. And my friends, will you trust him tonight? Do you know him as your Lord? Have you trusted him as your Savior? If you say, well, Franklin, I think so. Well, I'm not talking about thinking nothing. I'm talking about, do you know it? Do you know it tonight? If you don't know, if you're not sure, you can be sure tonight. You can be sure. But you see, it's your choice. It's your choice. Now, Mephibosheth had a choice. He could accept David's invitation, or he could reject it. You've got a choice tonight. You can accept God's invitation, or you can reject it. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There is no other way to God except through Jesus Christ. And you say, well, Franklin, how about all them Hindu people? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's no Hindu God that you can worship that's going to get you to heaven. How about the people who follow Islam? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Now, there are going to be millions of people in heaven who have come out of a Buddhist background, who were raised Buddhist, but they heard that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life, and they believed on him by faith. There are going to be millions of people that have come out of Islam that are going to be in heaven. Why? Because they heard that Jesus Christ died for their sins, and by faith they believed it and they accepted it and they asked Christ to come into their heart, and they were forgiven and they're going to be in heaven. And let me tell you, there are going to be a few Baptists too. Yep, I'm telling you. Now, you know, we laugh and but I'm serious. We have today in our churches millions and millions of people in the pews who are lost. They're lost. And you know what? There's some of you here tonight, and I'm telling you, listen to me. This is serious business. This is heaven or hell. Because you see, there's no way that you can stand before a holy God unless you come through Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Will you come to him tonight? Mephibosheth comes before David. He's a cripple. There's nothing he can do. There's no hope for him. There's nothing. And David calls him by his name. You see, God knows your name. He's calling you tonight. And Mephibosheth comes, and he said, "Mephibosheth, I'm going to restore to you your grandfather's land." And you come to faith in Christ tonight, let me tell you something. He's going to restore to you a new life and a new beginning. You say, "Franklin, you know, you don't understand the junk in my life. You don't understand the sin in my life. He can't restore me." Oh, yes, he can. Yes, he can. And he restored all of the things that Mephibosheth had lost, all the things that you have lost, all the relationships, all the failures. Give him a chance. God loves you. And he's good at putting the pieces of your life back together. If you'll trust him, if you'll let him, that's right. He'll forgive you tonight. He'll cleanse you. And you can leave this arena tonight forgiven, cleansed, knowing that you're on your way to heaven. You say, "Oh, come on, Franklin, is it that simple?" Yes. You see, Jesus paid the price. He paid it all. And all you have to do is be willing to receive it by faith. That's right, just receive it by faith. And he'll forgive you and he'll cleanse you. And he'll do it right now. He'll do it here. And you know what David told Mephibosheth? He said, "Mephibosheth, you're going to eat at my table." And for the rest of that boy's life, he sat at the king's table. And guess what? When he sat at the table, and when David looked at that little boy, Mephibosheth, you think he really saw Mephibosheth? I don't think so. I think he looked and said, "I see Jonathan." He looked at that little boy, and I think he saw his friend. And you see, when God looks at us, he sees the blood of Jesus Christ has covered us and cleansed us from all of our sin. And so my question to you tonight, do you know Jesus?
You can get to know Jesus, or you can renew your relationship with him right now. Just go to peacewithgodradio.org and click on Grow Your Faith. You can also call us at 888-61-JESUS, 888-615-3787.
Peace.
With.
God.
Find us at peacewithgodradio.org.
The problem of sin. Franklin Graham just compared it to a disability that spiritually cripples each one of us. Now his son Will compares sin to heart trouble.
When the doctor says that you need heart surgery, everything changes in your life. Priorities automatically get reshuffled. Well, we need to be just as urgent about repairing our own heart spiritually. Over time, as we live our life by our own means, our heart naturally drifts from the love of God and becomes hardened like a stone. In Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, God says he'll take that heart of stone, removing the cold, callous one, and replacing it with a new heart, which is sensitive to God's desires. This new heart can only be received by faith. By simply believing that God can change your heart and ask him to give you a new heart, he will. Your new heart will be full of spiritual life that is warm and sensitive to his leading. Faith, believing and trusting in God's provision, gives us the ability to start living with new priorities. So live by faith and not by sight. For Peace with God, I'm Will Graham.
God's willingness, his joy, in changing people's hearts is just part of who he is. It's his nature. And next week here on Peace with God, Billy Graham teaches more on the unchanging nature of God.
In the last generation, the only way to God was through Christ. In this generation, the only way to God will be through Christ. The only one in history of whom it is written, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life.
Make plans to be with us again next week at this same time for Peace with God. And listen to us anytime online at peacewithgodradio.org. Click on TV and radio. Peace with God is one of the many ways that the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association shares the life-changing message of Jesus with people around the world. And you can be a part of that work through your prayers and financial support. Go to peacewithgodradio.org and click on Give. Or you can give over the phone by calling 888-61-JESUS, 888-615-3787. I'm Bill Meyer, and thanks for being with us today.
Peace with God is an outreach of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Always good news.